gun violence information and to get those numbers up to where they're at. And I obviously, that's very misleading. In addition, one of the big claims that they make in a couple of the studies that they have put out recently is they seem to make a big deal about the fact that, as you've probably heard in the news, that a bunch of the crime guns that are being used or at least being caught or confiscated from criminals in Mexico are, interestingly enough, or have their source of origin in several border states, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. And they make an argument in their in one of their proposal papers that there's a problem with this. Well, you think about the geographic location of those four states to the country of Mexico. Those are the four major states along the Mexican border, so therefore it's only logical that the guns that would find their way illegally into Mexico are going to most likely, the overwhelming majority, are most likely going to come from those border states. And then they went so far as to say that there was a big differentiation between the guns that are coming from Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona versus California. They said that there's way more guns coming into Mexico from those three previous states than are coming in from California. And they made that seem like it was strange or interesting finding, and they attributed it to the rigid gun laws in California. Well, as Mark and I discussed right before we went on the air here, if you look on a map, and it doesn't take much, just go to Google Map and look at the map of the United States where it butts up to Mexico, you'll see that only a small portion of that 2,000-mile-long border is in California, and the entire rest of that border is in the states of Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico. So it's only logical that the majority of those guns would be coming from those three states, and I would argue that it has very little, if anything, to do with the laws in the state of California. And what I want to make claim to in order to substantiate that is when you look at the number of homicides attributed to firearms, it's very interesting to note that California leads the nation in number of deaths attributed to firearms almost multiple times, four times, five times, six times the national average. Yet they want to claim that it's their rigid gun laws that are preventing guns from going into Mexico, but they're not making any reference to the fact that they have the highest homicide rate attributed to firearms in the country. And that data can be substantiated simply by going to the FBI Uniform Crime Reports webpage, looking at violent crime in the U.S., and look at any one of the charts across there, and it'll clearly show you that California leads the nation. And guess who's right behind them? The state where the leader of all this mess resides, New York. New York, almost 1,500 deaths attributed annually to firearms. And as a result of that, I just want you to pay attention to what you read, take a look at it, and go to the extra effort to research the data. If you have any comments on this, I'm going to encourage our listeners to call in today. Due to the fact that we've relocated our home base, the new number for today is 396-2181, 396-2181. If you have any comments, concerns, questions about what I just started talking about, or any of the other issues we talked about last week or in previous shows, or any concerns you might have, any interest you have in firearms-related topics, please give us a call, and we'd be glad to get you on the air. But I wanted to take the time today to address some of these issues, and I know Mark has an opinion, and I'm going to go ahead and give him the mic for just a couple of minutes.
This is the first time that Jeff's taken a breath since we opened into the new studios today. So let me let people know what our phone number is. It's area code 937-396-2181. If you'd like to get on the air, if you'd like to get on the show, or you have a question, we talked a little bit about the mayor's against illegal guns last week and some of the nonsense coming out of Mayor Bloomberg's office. He has been the kind of the leader in that whole program. He's the one who started Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And if they really were focused on the criminal use of firearms, that would be great. But unfortunately, that's not their approach. They are much more concerned about keeping guns out of everyone's hands in hopes that they'll keep the guns out of the criminals' hands. And they don't like to recognize the reality that the statistics give you, some of which Jeff talked about today, that says that the criminals are going to get the guns regardless of what you restrictions that the government puts on the law-abiding citizens. And they fail to recognize that law-abiding citizens having guns and having them legally and being trained to use them properly is one of the best deterrents against the illegal use of guns. Now, one of the things that Jeff also mentioned in the program, that's the report that the Mayors Against Illegal Guns are liking to use right now, they're saying that suicide is one of those factors of violent use of handguns, and that they should be able to restrict that. Well, it's true in the sense that if people are using guns to kill themselves, that is violence, but it's violence done by themselves. And we have the country that has the highest the highest numbers of suicides is Japan, where the personal ownership of firearms is almost non-existent. But because of it's a cultural thing. It's not a question of the equipment. If people want to kill themselves, they are going to do that, and it doesn't matter whether they have a gun to do it with, or they use a kitchen knife, or they use medication that was legally prescribed and is normally has an excellent and beneficial use, but when used improperly, it can be fatal. Those are the kinds of things that that often happen. Let's take just a little bit of a detour here, because we have been talking in the past about the legislation that is pending in the Ohio House that would change the way that people carry. It would change the way you carry in a firearm. It would allow you to motor vehicle. It would change the way that would, in fact, give you permission or give you the ability to carry if you're licensed concealed. If you have a concealed handgun license, you'd be able to carry in a restaurant that serves alcohol. And we have talked a couple of times with Representative Jared Martin, who is on the phone with us right now. Welcome back to the show. Oh, let me – I'm sorry. I punched the wrong button. Are you there now? Okay. What am I doing wrong? Somebody come on here and bail me out.
In the meantime, let me just continue on here. This is new equipment, and we'll eventually get it going. I want to just make one point of clarification concerning the data I recorded earlier. I made one mistake. New York is not second. They're third behind Texas. It's California, Texas, and then New York, third in rate of homicides attributed to firearms. So just a little bit of clarification so that I didn't get people calling in.
Representative Martin, are you on the phone with us now? That's not working.
No, that's not working.
we'll get back to it. I was in some sort of an echo chamber, so... Yeah.
We'll get back to it, but let me just continue on until they get those technicalities worked out.
Representative Martin, are you with us now? Not there. Okay.
The other issue that I wanted to mention that was relevant was that in the study referenced by the Mayors Against Illegal Gun Violence, they make a mention that the District of Columbia had a zero per 100,000 rate of exportation of firearms to other states, particularly to Mexico, reference crime guns. Well, here's another fact they don't tell you. And D.C. mayors over the years have been linked up very closely with Mayor Bloomberg in this initiative. They have the highest rate per 100 inhabitants of homicide in the nation, whereas the national average is five homicides nationally per 100,000 inhabitants. D.C.'s rate is 24, almost five times national average, and about two to three times that of any other state in the union. So, again, there's misleading data that just needs to be searched through and worked at in order to get the truth of what's going on. You got it, Mark?
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if we've got Representative Martin on the phone with us now.
Now, I think we're just going to can that one for today until we – and maybe after the break we can find out what's going on. And we'll just – I know that he has limited schedule today, but there's other things we want to get on with, and we don't want the listeners to get bogged down with that right now. We'll eventually get it worked out. I want to alert our listeners to something else before I come back to some of these issues. Over the next 12 days, beginning tomorrow, Sim Trainer, we're going to launch 12 Days of Christmas special beginning on December 12th, leading up to our special broadcast on Christmas Eve. We're going to take $25 off any course offering or any course we offer, or any membership, anybody chooses to come down and enroll in any of our courses besides the First Shots class.
Which is only $25 to begin with.
But you take advantage of any of our basic handgun, our handgun 1-5 series, our concealed carry class, which we have one going on starting this coming Monday. the 13th, and there's still openings in that, and this offer will extend to that class, $25 off. Plus, you're going to get a entry into a drawing for a mystery range gun that we will draw the winning ticket on the Christmas Eve broadcast on the 24th of December. We'll be broadcasting between 8 and 9 on that day. So you're going to get $25 off plus an entry into a drawing for a mystery range gun from the range, which we will make available on the 24th of December.
We'll have more information about that right after the break, and we'll go out now and pay a few bills. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery. I want to remind our listeners that for today, as far as we know, at least for today, you're going to have to call in at 396-2181. That's 396-2181 if you want to get on the air, and we'll try to get you on the air if it's at all possible. Can we get out to the phones, Mark, at the present time?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go out to the phones, where at least we're going to give it one more shot. Hello, are you there?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, excellent. Hey, we have victory. Okay.
Hey,
welcome to the show. I'm sorry, I don't have your name. And tell us who you are. What's your first name?
My name's John. I'm in Dayton.
All right, John. Thanks. What is your question?
Well, I was wondering if you thought maybe that California and New York had their opinions about gun control because they have such a big problem with it, rather than saying that they're just liberals trying to control other people's rights. Maybe they have the right idea because they deal with the problem more than everyone else.
That would be true if it was effective in what they were doing. Unfortunately, what they're doing isn't working. And so I don't think that you can accurately say that they're trying it and they're doing it because they have a bigger problem. They didn't always have a bigger problem, but they do have that problem now.
Well, right. And again, if you take the entire state of California and you take the city of New York and then the city of Washington, D.C., you'll see that those issues, they're just not coming to exist. There's high, very high violent crime rates in all those cities, yet they have some of the most, quote, stringent, unquote, gun laws in the country. I'll tell you what, as soon as we come back from the break, we're going to get back on that topic. We have to take another break to pay some bills. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer. Over the break, they tell us that they now have the regular phone lines up and running. You can call in at either 457-1290, that's 457-1290, or 457-1293, 457-1293. Either of those extensions hopefully will get you in. And before the break, I want to just comment. John from Dayton brought up a good point. He made the assertion that rather than claiming that it's their liberal mindset that's causing some of the concern that maybe we should pay attention to their success. Well, or at least he alluded to that. Quite frankly, their success is not based on the results. You take Los Angeles, California, Washington, D.C., Miami, Florida, Chicago, Illinois. They have some of the highest, overwhelmingly highest violent crime rates in the country. And they're due to a lot of reasons. And I don't want to minimize this and say it's only due to the guns and that. They've got gang problems. They've got drug problems and a variety of other socioeconomic issues that they're struggling with that fuel this whole crime wave that's going on around in those cities. But the bottom line is their results aren't very favorable. And until they can produce hard data that's verifiable through legitimate sources, not their own data collection or reports, as they did in a couple of times, they made reference to news media accounts of information that they relied on as being accurate. And I just want to make one mention of that. Just in the last week, there was some discussion on the news channels, radio or the TV stations, about the status of Senate Bill 247 and 239 in the Ohio legislature. And the commentators said that, you know, if these two laws pass, there's going to be guns and bars and who knows what's going to happen. And they had, you know, write in your comments on their web pages, and people were calling in based on the lack of information that they were given out initially And they kind of took a different opinion because they didn't have all the facts. They were saying that that's a ridiculous proposition, but they didn't realize that this isn't going to be the majority of people that go into bars and are drinking alcohol can't be armed because the law specifically states if you're consuming alcoholic beverages, you can't carry your firearm. If you're not consuming, you can. But the majority of these people, I'm going to venture to guess, and I think it's a safe assumption, they're going to be going to restaurants out to dinner, and they know they can't be consuming, and so therefore they want to be able to protect themselves in all those locations that serve alcohol in open containers as opposed to going to bars where they know they can't drink and have their gun with them.
Yeah, and clearly the fact that the media has often misreported or misunderstood because they simply aren't experts in this area, and they have reported what they've been told and what they believe to be true, but without checking with someone like us that actually studies this material. And that's part of the reason why we started this show.
Exactly.
Was in order to dispel some of those myths, to correct the record, and to get the correct information out. Not just what we believe to be true, but what we can prove to be true based on the statistics, based on the FBI uniform crime reports, based on the experience that Jeff has as a police officer and that I have had throughout my life as a gun owner and as a also as military officer.
In addition, we had the chief of the city of Dayton in
Richard Beal.
Richard Beal, in a couple of months ago, where he basically said there's been substantial declines in the violent crime rate in the city of Dayton, and much of that is in fact fueled by other issues than just the availability of guns. So there's lots of issues out there, and like Mark said, that's one of our main goals here is to get the truth out there and to give you an opportunity to go and research the data yourself and be informed as opposed to let the sometimes uninformed, maybe not intentionally, media give you that information.
Let's go out. Let's try the phones again and see if we can talk to Jim, who's called in. Jim, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
It's wonderful. It's great to hear your voice, let me tell you. What's your question?
I had a question about concealed carry. I'm going to go in a few months and take the course. And I was talking to a gal that said she had gone to somebody that taught the concealed carry course for another state that reciprocates with Ohio but doesn't require range time, which just didn't sound like a good idea to me at all. But when it didn't seem, is that actually legal to take another state's test in Ohio?
Well, you can go to another state's test. I mean, for instance, Utah does not have a live fire requirement, and you can take a Utah concealed carry class and get a Utah license, but you really need to get an Ohio license. And that class, although it satisfies the Utah requirement, it does not satisfy the Ohio requirement. You must have the Ohio requirement is that you have a class that's a minimum of 12 hours, that 10 hours be spent in the classroom, and that 2 hours be spent in the range, and that there is a live fire requirement associated with that.
Yeah, well, once you said it didn't have a live fire, I just didn't like that idea anyway.
Well, Jim, a lot of people, they're doing it for a couple reasons. They want to get it the most expedient way they can, the least expensive way they can. They want to get as many states reciprocity as they possibly can. But here's what it comes down to. If you live in the state of Ohio, if you're a resident of the state of Ohio, you need to get the state of Ohio license, because if anything ever were to happen, one of the first questions you're going to be asked on the stand is, where do you live and why you do not have the Ohio license? And that's just going to create a lot of problems, because that's going to kind of be the venue for which you have to operate with. All the laws are going to be relevant to you in your state of Ohio at the time. There are people who find ways to get around almost every rule or law or whatever, but they run into problems if anything ever happens, because they're the ones that are going to have to do the explaining.
Right. Yeah, well, like I said, it just sounded kind of shady to me to begin with.
Yeah. And again, that's mainly due to people. They're just trying to circumvent the system the way it is. And quite frankly, I like it the way it is. The range time, that's just a beginning familiarization. And I would even go so far as to, I would like to at some point see mandatory qualification of competency. I know that that's an issue that's subject to a lot of controversy. But in my line of work, police officers have to regularly at least get to the range once a year and demonstrate competency in the use of their firearm. Whereas right now, the way the law is written, someone could have gotten their permit in 2004, never shot another round, and they've still got their permit and making an assumption. The worst thing about that is they personally are making an assumption that they're ready, able, and capable to do something if something bad happens. And my argument is, if you don't shoot your gun on a regular basis, you're not going to be competent, capable, and comfortable enough to defend yourself or someone else when a stressful situation hits, because it's going to be way worse than when you're on the range trying to qualify with an instructor looking over your shoulder, even someone as mean as Mark.
I agree with that, definitely.
One of the things that we do disagree on a little bit is whether or not it should be state requirement that causes that to happen or personal responsibility. And I believe that every gun owner should get adequate training. They should get good, solid training from somebody who really knows what they're doing. And naturally, we consider that to be sim trainer. But more than that, you need to get good training and good, solid practice to reform and to make permanent and automatic all of those things that you would need to do under stress. And that's not something that everybody can do at the place that they practice. A lot of places where you would practice firing your handgun, they have policies that prohibit you from doing some of the things that you would need to do during the violent encounter. And the reason for that is very important. I mean, they're not wrong in making those policies, because those things that you would need to do could be dangerous if not done correctly. And that's where people make mistakes, and people sometimes get careless or make, you know, especially if they haven't been trained correctly, they could do things that could cause them or someone else injury. And that's simply not acceptable at a range for that to occur. So that's why it's important to get the kind of training that will give you the experience doing the things that you would need to do during a violent encounter to defend yourself with a firearm. And the only way to do that is to get advanced training, to go to some place like Sim Trainer or the Tactical Defense Institute down in Adams County, another excellent program, and get some training behind your gun, doing the right things and making sure that you are qualified personally, that you are confident that you can do what needs to be done at that time when there's no thinking going to be available. You are not going to be able to think through the process and figure out how you're going to do it at that time. You're going to have to respond the way you've been trained, muscle memory, automatic response based on the training that you've had, and that is why it's so essential that training be proper and correct.
Yeah, that's funny. That's what I was thinking, muscle memory, just like in sports.
Exactly.
That's the exact analogy you make. And one other thing I just want to mention relevant to that topic is, unfortunately, and I guess maybe fortunately, the proving ground for this kind of training are real-world situations involving law enforcement officers and military personnel who, in the field of battle, respond particular ways. And fortunately, there have been entities and individuals who have studied those circumstances and came up with a list of best practices that they found that are going to make people not only survive, because it's not okay just to survive. I want to make that very clear. Just because you survive a gun battle doesn't mean it's good enough, because you could survive and be paralyzed the rest of your life and it's not too good. You've got to win the encounter. And to win the encounter, the individuals who have studied these circumstances, they found that there's best practices, and the recurring theme is practice, 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 realistic situations, the weapon you're going to use, the same types of ammunition, like in similar circumstances. At Sim Trainer, people ask me, why did you come up with the name Sim Trainer? Because what we try to do with all of our training is as much as possible simulate reality. That's the sim part of Trainer. There's nothing magical about it, nothing mythical about it. The simple fact is we just try to, as much as possible, simulate reality, put people in realistic situations. Tonight, for example, we have our Spontaneous Assault Handgun 5 wrap up to our advanced training class, and that is where it gets real, and the people get a real feel for what it's like when they draw from the holster without using their sights. They have to shoot one, two, three, any one of a number of shots in one, two, or three different targets in very rapid succession, and that's usually less than 3 or 4 seconds. And they got to be accurate shots, and they got to be moving to and from cover, and it gives them a real close taste of what it's going to be like in the real world. And they repeat that time and time and time again.
Another thing that we do is through our training league on Tuesday evenings. We're in a break right now through the end of the year, but our Tuesday Tactical Training League last Tuesday was a wild and crazy experience. And one of the things that we did was we had some reactive targets. They were targets that were, you had to hit them in exactly the right place, and that right place wasn't necessarily all that clearly identified. They were targets that had T-shirts on, and they had other things that were masking them, things that were very realistic, the kinds of things that you might experience. And if you didn't hit it in the right place and you got used to practicing with fire two shots at a target and then moving on to the next target, and that target wasn't down yet, now that target is still a threat. And that's the kind of stuff that you just can't do on your own in most places that you would go to a range. Now, people that have their own property where they have a place that they can shoot, there's a lot of things that they can do, and that's an excellent kind of practice. But you need to take, if you're going to carry a firearm for personal defense, you need to take the additional step of making sure that you've been well-trained and that you understand all of the things that might happen. And let me tell you, it's not something that you're going to come up with on your own. It's not something you really need to get some expert experience. Jim, really, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's take one more call if we can. And I don't have the name of the person, but so tell us what your first name is and give us what is it that you'd like to talk about.
My name is Ron.
Okay, Ron, and what is your question or comment?
We have, here in Ohio, we've been having the concealed carry license now since 2004, six years, I believe.
That's correct.
And why is it taking so long to get other states, especially Georgia, to honor state of Ohio CCW license holders?
Excellent question. And the main thing right now is the licensing requirement for a state like Georgia. Another one is Colorado, for example. Their laws and our laws don't necessarily match. Now, Colorado's requirements do match Ohio's, but Colorado does not have a reciprocity provision in their law. They recognize any license that recognizes them. We can't recognize them if they won't recognize or sign a reciprocity agreement with Ohio. It's a little bit of an incompatibility in the law. Georgia's licensing requirements are slightly different from ours, and they don't have a live fire requirement. And so their licensing requirement is not substantially similar. So that is going to require a change to Ohio law in order to recognize other states that we don't currently have. Almost all the states that we could have reciprocity agreements with, we now do have reciprocity agreements with.
Right. So which will be better, individual state CCW license permits or license, or nationwide?
Well, personal opinion, I think that each state issuing their own license is better. But I think that we should have national reciprocity, just like you have with your driver's license, that you should have, if you have a license in one state, it should be automatically recognized by any other state, and you shouldn't have to do anything other than just meet your state's requirements. While you're there, obviously, you need to follow their laws, just like you do on the road. You know, some places have right turn on red, other places don't. You have to know the laws in the state that you're carrying, just as you would when you're driving. But I don't think that there should be a requirement that you have a different, that you would have to get a license or special permission from every state that you carry in.
Okay. All right.
Ron, thanks very much for calling the show. We are going to take our last break of the hour now. We will come back after paying a few bills. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this broadcast for Shooting from the Hip. This is Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery. I want to remind our listeners about a special that we're going to be running at Sim Trainer, the 12 Days of Christmas special over the next 12 days, beginning tomorrow through Christmas Eve. We're going to take $25 off any course registration except for first shots or any membership. Plus, anybody that registers for one of our classes, which includes, by the way, the concealed carry class that begins next Monday, this coming Monday, I should say, the 13th and goes through the 16th. We're going to include a entry into a drawing for a mystery range gun that we will be raffling off during our special Christmas Eve broadcast on Friday, the 24th of December from 8 to 9. Since Christmas Day is on a Saturday during the time we normally would be broadcasting, we're going to have a special broadcast from 8 to 9 on Friday, the 24th, Christmas Eve. In addition, we're going to have that day we're going to be open at the range. We're going to have a special Christmas Eve special sale at the range from 9 to 5. You come on in, we're going to have a variety of things on sale, everything from firearms to ammunition to accessories, and you can pick up some last-minute gifts for Christmas. Mark, let's go out to the phone.
Let's go out to the phones, and we'll talk to Gary, who has called in. Gary, welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate it. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to chime in real quick on that Utah permit.
Sure.
I agree with everything you said about you should have your home state permit. But the reason I travel a lot, and that Utah permit, especially in the South, opened up a lot of states that Ohio's accepted that.
I fully understand that, and that's a reason. A lot of the reason why people sometimes will get a Florida license as well. One or the other usually covers most of them. The biggest problem with the non-resident license is that there are several states now that will only recognize a resident license.
Right.
So, and Colorado is one of those. If you don't have a Colorado license, if you're not a Colorado resident, you can't get a Colorado license. So if you don't have their license already and your state is not recognized by Colorado, there's nothing you can do because they will not recognize your Utah license either.
Yeah. Gary, I just want to...
One thing that the people that don't travel a lot and they have like an Ohio permit, be sure to check out each state before you go in there because you may think you're all right, and you not be all right.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
That's good advice, Gary. And I want to make very clear and just clarify a point I made earlier. I'm all for people getting those other state licenses once they get the Ohio permit first, and then they go out and get Florida and Pennsylvania and Utah, whatever else they want to do to accomplish just what you're talking about, to get reciprocity with more states so you don't have to worry about all these nonsense obstacles while you're traveling around the country.
Couldn't agree more. A great show, guys. I got to run.
Thanks very much, Gary. There is a great article on the Buckeye Firearms website, and we have referenced it several times. It's linked to our radio page that talks about getting a non-resident license. And based on the states that you need to travel to, you can find out how's the best and most economical and most effective way for you to get that the license that you need to carry in whatever other state. I can carry in Georgia and Texas and Pennsylvania based on my Pennsylvania non-resident license, but that still isn't going to get me into a place that doesn't recognize a non-resident license. And my Ohio license gets me to most of the places I need to go anyway.
Well, we overcame the obstacles today, Mark. And
we
just want to remind our listeners that if you want to take advantage of that special, just mention if you call in or if you do an online registration, you want to take advantage of the 12 Days of Christmas special. Just mention that you heard on the Shooting from the Hip radio broadcast, and our staff members will be more than glad to get you lined up and make sure you get an entry into that drawing for that mystery gun that we'll be drawing on Christmas Eve. And I want to remind our listeners, we'll be on one more time next Saturday before that
Christmas
weekend. Yeah, and we'll do the Christmas Eve show. And then, interestingly enough, we have a show coming right back on Monday the 27th of December. So if you're at work or on your way to work, we're going to be on again from 8 to 9 a.m. on the 27th. That's Monday the 27th when people are going back to work in between the Christmas and New Year's holiday. And we're going to have some interesting things then. And today's show was kind of what we're getting used to it. We managed to overcome some of the obstacles here, but these are the types of issues we want to discuss, and we want to encourage the listeners to pay attention to what's going on in the media, and let's talk about some of these issues, and let's get the right information out there so that people are informed and they can make informed decisions.
If something comes up during the week and you have a question about it, you could either call us at the range at 2933-914, or you can send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com. And those are the kinds of things that give us cues as to what you're thinking about, what's important to you, and things that you'd like to have addressed on the show. So that's at radio@sim-trainer.com. Also, you can go to sim-trainer.com/radio and click on our page there. There's also a Facebook link to our Facebook page, and you can put notes on that as well. Thank you very much for being part of the show today. This is Mark Avery with Jeff Pedro here for Shooting from the Hip. We'll be going over to the news center just in a very few seconds, and then off to Dayton Flyer basketball. You are listening to AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio WHIO.